May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Romans chapter 9, as we continue to just look at the grace of God, or Romans chapter 11, I'm sorry, says this, "And if the first piece of dough be holy, the lump is also. And if the root be holy, the branches are too. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, the Gentiles, were grafted in among them, became partakers with them of the rich root of the olive tree. Do not be arrogant towards the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you." And the root in all these places is references to the root of Jesse, Jesus himself. And I love what he says here, very simple. He said, if the root be holy, the branches are too. There's a place in Peter where he says, in directing what our behavior as Christians should look like, he said, be holy even as I am holy. That's an amazing statement because he's not saying the ridiculously impossible. He's not saying, since I'm holy, now you go off and try to be holy too. He's saying, actually, be holy, and that's not an unreasonable command because I'm holy. And you're connected to the root. You're the branch. He's the root. He's the vine. You're the branches. And whatever the branch has is because it has it in the root or in the vine. Whatever the vine has, the branch has. I share this a lot, but it's impossible for the root or the vine to have something and the branch not have it too. And again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. For the church is the fullness of him who's constantly filling all and he's in all. So Jesus is constantly filling your spirit with all that he is. And if you're a believer, that's true about every one of us. Regardless of where we've been or what we've done or who we are, what our personality is, what our situation is, the truth is that you are being constantly filled in your deep inner man with the fullness of Christ. And so we can honestly say that we share in the fullness of Christ. And we talk about the issue of holiness, the way the vast majority of Christians try to live the Christian life is they try to study holiness and memorize holiness and struggle for holiness, asking and requesting God for help to get there. And we are constantly falling and failing. When the issue is if the fullness of Christ is filling you constantly, then the holiness of Christ, which is part of his fullness, is abiding in you right now. It's a matter of fact, it's vibrant. It's not just stagnant, it's lively and active and energetic inside of you. When we talk about our union with Christ, our oneness with him, if you pour wine into a glass of water, now the water is part of the wine and the wine is part of the water. That's union. Jesus said that he is one spirit with us, that we are one with him, that we're baptized into him. We're in Christ and that Christ is in us. There's this intermingling of my weakness and humanity, but his strength, of my water and the wine of his spirit. That's an amazing thing to think of. And theologians always refer to it as our vital union with Christ. The word vital is the word that can mean essential, absolutely necessary. For the Christian life to be and to work, there has to be a vital union with Jesus. But I would say it's more than our vital union. It's a vital union. It's a vibrant union. It's a vivid union. You are one with him. That's essential. Because apart from that, you can't live the Christian life. But it's a vibrant union. It's not a stagnant life that lives in us. It's, again, something that's active and lively and dynamic and real. It's like an artesian well inside of us. But it's also vivid. Vivid by meaning it's manifested in the fruit bearing that bears fruit of his life. As I've said before, we're not a branch attached to a vine. We're the part of the vine called branch, through which the vine bears fruit, vivid union. That's the reality of who we are. And we have to be set free. And it's really a renewal of mind of struggling to get something to be, requesting him to do, instead of rejoicing in the fact that he is, because he's living in me in fullness. Holiness isn't something we struggle to get. We start off our Christian life in vital union with him who is holiness in us. Holiness is rejoicing in and resting in and celebrating his holiness. And from that reality, when temptation comes, instead of struggling to be holy, praying for help, you simply are reminded that the fullness of Christ is yours and that his holy life in fullness is yours. And you just celebrate that. You rejoice in that. You thank him for that. And the result of that, there's born in your life, behaviorally, the fruit of his holy life. These are things for CTKers that we're repeating because I'm watching people come alive to it. Because if you don't, you're constantly trying to get him to come help you. He's not our helper. The Holy Spirit's our helper, and he's our helper by making Christ real in us. We're in vital union with him. So much of what you're asking for, so much of what you're pleading for, it's already yours in Christ. And if you and I would just simply start resting in that, rejoicing in that, you'd find its manifestation as fruit in your life. Holiness is something that you have as a free gift in the person of Jesus. It's worked out in your experience by faith. And faith is receiving. Receiving isn't begging or pleading. It's just taking. It's just owning. It's just surrendering to. It's just knowing and resting in. That's faith. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.